I guess Sunday night is kind of a no man's land, or for that matter, no woman's land either. I just mean, I'm not in for anybody, am I? Am I supposed to say that? I mean, I'm not in for George Norrie or Art Bell, although they regularly do Sunday nights. I guess I'll just say, this is Ian Punnett with a face for radio and a voice for print, and I'm just in. And what a great weekend to be in, too. Loved last night's show. Lots of great guests. And if you want to take a look, you can go online still at coasttocoastam.com and find out about that book on assassins that arrange accidents. It's a novel, but the research was being done by a man who goes by the name of Tom Kane. And David Mack, who's a Marvel comic book writer, who has some very cool new projects coming up this year for that house, and you can see a little illustration he did for Coast to Coast that's on the website at coasttocoastam.com. But tonight, it just build on what was already, I thought, interesting by talking about this news item. Did you see this? It was also out last night, but we didn't have a chance to get to it. Out of the Netherlands, motorists nostalgic for the time that they could sit tight while attendants braved windswept garage forecourts to fill their tanks may yet see those days return. Compliments of a Dutch robot. Dutch inventors unveiled last week a 75,000 euro project, a car fueling robot. Each one will cost about 111,000 American dollars, a car fueling robot. They say the first of its kind, working by registering the car on arrival at the gas station and then matching it to a database of fuel cap designs and fuel types. So all you have to do is pull in. The robot will read the car, read where the gas cap is, go open it, and start pumping your car for you. And I think that's, it's great on a night like tonight. It's still below zero up here in the upper Midwest. But more than that, it should let you know that robots are becoming increasingly more prominent in our everyday lives. That is, they're not just going to be restricted to factories. They're not just going to be in kind of a heavy labor capacity. But the idea of the service robots being everywhere is becoming not just the work of science fiction, but actually something you're going to start seeing in your own life. It kind of seems like something which I'm obsessed with, and you're right. But that brings me to the work of Dr. Daniel Wilson, who'll be our guest coming up next hour. He already wrote the book, How to Survive a Robot Uprising, I guess, when good service robots go bad, when the gas station filling robots turn their pumps into flamethrowers, that sort of thing. He already wrote that book, How to Survive a Robot Uprising. Now the new book, How to Build a Robot Army. We'll be talking about it with him too. He's the author of the book, Where's My Jetpack, who is just on with George last year. Great show. You're going to love this coming up next hour. And in the meantime, there's the other story at coasttocoastam.com. You'll see it at the top of the news pile. That the reporter who was working on the UFO appearances in Texas has parted ways with that newspaper. And another columnist that has been watching that story will explain that all to us in lieu of crypto news. Just one story. What happened to the reporter and the newspaper? Why isn't she there anymore after covering those UFO stories? This just gets curiouser and curiouser next on Coast to Coast AM. In for, well, just in. This is Ian Punnett. Steve Hammonds has an interesting background here. We'll talk about it in just a second. But first, I just want to also point out that Glynis McCants is going to join us a little bit later on this hour. For those of you who get the Best of George feed, kind of a recording from 2 or 3 weeks ago on your local station, you're going to think like we're very Glynis McCants centric because she was just on. You're going to say, wait, I just heard her. But this was a separate thing from that show. And I know Glynis McCants is on all the time, but I asked specifically for Glynis to join us tonight for a few minutes. I'll tell you why a little bit later on this hour. Steve Hammonds, who is a columnist for the American Chronicle, AmericanChronicle.com. Let's talk about that real quickly first, Steve. American Chronicle, it's a website where contributors like you who have a particular interest have kind of a clearinghouse for where to put your columns. Would that be a fair description?
Yes, I think so, Ian. I do get my pieces published on other sites as well, both the kind of the unconventional topics and more conventional current events. But AmericanChronicle.com is one of the main ones.
I think that was interesting. I just want to point that out. Well, thank you for giving us some time, and you can link up to Steve Hammond's piece there through coasttocoastam.com, and he's at the top of the fold. But let's talk about that, because you write mostly about UFOs. You cover that. That's sort of your – is that your online beat?
That's just one of many things, Ian. I cover just a lot of different kind of current events, social, a little bit of politics, scientific things. So, no, I'm not mainly a UFO reporter. I do cover the unconventional things like remote viewing and some things along those lines. But that's part of just kind of a wide spectrum of things I look at.
Well, I enjoyed your number of articles on that. So I thought it brought a focus to what you were doing that also explains why you were covering this story out of Stephenville, Texas. So you have been in contact today with the reporter that had been covering the UFO appearances in Stephenville?
Yes, I have been.
Okay. For people who I mean, I know that regular listeners of Coast to Coast and this story also made some mainstream splash, but just to make sure that everybody knows exactly what we're talking about, can you go over from the earliest the appearances of the UFOs in Stephenville, Texas from a couple of weeks ago?
Well, I just heard about it, I guess like everyone else. It kind of made it into the mainstream media, CNN and the networks and an Associated Press story that was in just a lot of papers all over the place. And apparently early in January, quite a few of the local citizens there, including a local constable who's a police officer, a county officer, a respected local businessman, and many other citizens saw things ranging from highly unusual lights to a rather large or huge solid object, which people described as being perhaps a mile long.
Okay, and how many people saw the mile-long craft?
You know, I couldn't tell you exactly. I've just had the exposure mostly on this to what I've read in the press.
Okay.
We know one person who's been interviewed, a fellow named Ricky Sorrells, has been interviewed quite openly on CNN and EarthFiles.com with Linda Moulton Howe and some others. He says on his property, this thing was 300 feet up. He could not see the edge of it from the position in the woods outside his house, and it appeared to be a large, solid, metallic object, and he could see patterns on it. He was actually out with his hunting rifle and used his rifle scope to get a very close look at it. Apparently, when the MUFON UFO investigators were in the area recently conducting interviews, a lot of people came forward and were willing to speak with them confidentially, but were not willing to go on the record with the media for personal reasons, embarrassment, or they wanted their privacy or for whatever reason.
Sure.
So a lot of that is being kind of kept under wraps, I would say.
Okay. And I know that it has gotten a lot of coverage on Coast to Coast AM, too. And I was fascinated with the story, and I was sort of following it like you were. And everything about it had the ring of credibility. All of the people involved, nobody seemed to be playing this or selling their story or trying. It was an event, and it was being covered. And it was being covered also by the local paper and one reporter in particular at the Stephenville Empire Tribune. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, it's a very small paper. They had just a very small number of reporters. And one of them, a lady named Angela Joyner, she covers the routine matters of day-to-day life in the community. And then this incident came along, and of course the newspaper had to cover it. And, of course, before long, the Associated Press had picked it up, as I mentioned, and the big mainstream media, the national media, and I believe even some international interest in it. And she soon was fielding a lot of calls, and she was more or less the contact person who knew the community and knew the people and had done some of the early inquiries about it. And as the weeks wore on and more attention came to Stephenville, and some people probably liked the attention and some maybe were a little uncomfortable with it, I guess she was spending a lot of time on this story. And
well, it would only make sense to. I mean, if Stephenville doesn't make the national news map very often,
no.
And if everybody's covering the story that they're covering, and even good journalism would say that gives the story legs, and that people, I'm sure it was the talk of you know, every breakfast conversation in Stephenville, Texas, good or bad, the people are saying, hey, you know, crazy old Ricky saw this, or even if they said, well, of course, you know, we all know we believe everything he said, whatever it is, that mm-hmm. they were debating it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it at the local diner, everybody's
sure.
saying, what did you see? What did I hear? So why not keep covering it? I mean, that only makes sense in a town that size in particular. That's the top story.
Well, sure. And people were kicking around the idea. A military project, a craft, is it one of ours, something else? Just a normal conversation. Yeah, this is a highly unusual situation for this town, and it would be for any town.
And the news didn't just stop there either. There started to be these unusual phone calls, and then there started to be what appeared to be the men in black show up. And then that also is being verified by this reporter. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Well, this fellow, Ricky Sorrells, who seems to be a real down-to-earth Texan, lives out in the country a little bit, has some cattle, I believe, but also holds down a regular job. He stated, or was reported by Ms. Joyner, that he received a phone call by a man who identified himself, or said he was, a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. And he wanted, and as I understand it from the news reporting of Ms. Joyner, this caller wanted to come out and speak with Mr. Sorrells, because Sorrells had been quite open with CNN and other visiting media. And from what I gathered from the article, Mr. Sorrells said, well, I'm not quite sure I want to talk to you. And they got into a little verbal pushing match on the phone about, well, we are going to come out to talk to you, and, well, you won't come on my property maybe unless I give you the okay. And it kind of got a little heated, apparently, and that was the word Ms. Joyner used in her article. And some words were exchanged that I think a normal person might interpret as threats to Mr. Sorrells. And
yeah, that included an actual appearance, Mr. Sorrell says, later on his property, of a guy who's standing at the end of his driveway?
Something like that, and maybe closer to the house. Now, whether these two events are connected is unclear, of course, but at some point later, and I don't know if this was a couple days later or a week or what, according to Ms. Joyner's reporting, Mr. Sorrell's came to her and said, his dogs were barking one night. He's got several dogs, and he knows when they bark, there's either a deer or something going on out there. So he heard the dogs barking. He went out there. He saw a man quite clearly. The man was fairly close to his home. The man was moving around. This was 1 o'clock in the morning, reportedly. Of course, living out in the country, you would be real concerned. It's not like you can get a police officer out there in 5 minutes
right.
to assist you.
You're keeping a rifle near your bed.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
And he states that he did get his rifle out, and he apparently is a hunter, and he's an outdoorsman.
Right, it's
and,
all good.
And he was quite concerned. This man was acting suspiciously. He was where he shouldn't be, and Mr. Sorrells apparently came to the conclusion, as Ms. Joyner reported, that he felt this man wanted to be seen. He wanted Mr. Sorrells to see him, and he was acting in a way that Mr. Sorrells felt this possibly could be another type of intimidation.
And bottom line is, I mean, he goes out later, he finds a bullet he believes that was left behind by the guy, but if it wasn't, either way, it's kind of responsible local reporting when a local citizen who's been involved in a story that's already gotten national news, when the local reporter continues to cover that story. And that kind of brings us to where we are, which is that it doesn't seem like this reporter has done anything out of the ordinary or is creating this story or fabricating events or... But she's gone. And do we know, what do you know, having talked with her today, what do you know about the reasons why she's no longer associated with the newspaper?
Well, I think there might have been a few contributing things. Number one, both she, the community, and her bosses, and all the people involved were under, suddenly, a lot of different types of pressures and the spotlight, so to speak.
Pressures from whom?
Well, pressures, I mean, just of being in the spotlight in the media. That's one pressure. Let's put it that way. Being in the spotlight of the media, people calling, the town kind of being the center of attention, Larry King talking about it and Matt Lauer on the Today Show and you name it. Then, Miss Joyner seems to think that she doesn't have any information that pressure was put on the corporate owners of the paper to silence her or put on the publisher and editor. She's not aware of that, has not said she thinks that's the case. Her impression is that her bosses felt there was too much journalistic attention and her energies being put on the UFO sightings and the related topics and her other reporting duties of the more routine and everyday things in the community were suffering her other responsibilities. And I guess it seems to me like they had a bit of a falling out.
Okay.
And at some point the decision was made it was best to part ways.
Okay. So this paper, which has a corporate owner.
Yes.
You're saying that while she appeared to be confident that she did the best job she could have for her community, and I'm reading from your column,
mm-hmm.
As a responsible local journalist who realized something important was happening to her fellow citizens, even though that's what she was doing, there was a feeling that somehow this was getting too much pressure. Did they actually issue some sort of statement saying we're no longer going to be covering this story or we're dropping this story?
I'm not aware of that. I haven't read the paper over the last few days. Her last day was last Thursday, I believe. She had actually given her 2 weeks notice, and apparently they said, well, we'd kind of like you to just depart today.
Okay. And so if she gave her notice, then it would appear, I mean, is it fair to assume that she had been was being asked to give up this story in a way that she didn't feel was responsible as a journalist to stop covering a story which continues to develop?
My understanding was what she stated to me was she was trying her best to cooperate with her management, cover her other duties as a reporter, and shifting some of her UFO, the inquiry she was fielding, to her off-hours work. And she acts like she was trying to cooperate to the best of her ability, and that wasn't quite enough, apparently.
Okay. In your article, you said here that according to information obtained for this report, management for the Stephenville Empire Tribune did not want further coverage in the paper of the sightings by local citizens of something that appeared to be highly unusual. Pressures may have been placed on newspaper management to discontinue articles on the subject. But at this point, are you saying you believe that less to be true now, or do you still believe that to be true?
Well, I did obtain information, a report, that a city councilman there in town, at the very least, came to the newspaper management and said something to the effect, this is not great for the town, or, you know, we're tired of it. Or so this was allegedly a city councilman came and spoke to the management.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll leave that there, and you'll find more if you link up to coasttocoastam.com. There is a Steve Hammond's piece, and if you should speak to the reporter, tell her we offer our best for her coverage of this, and we look forward to hearing more when she feels like talking about it too. And thank you so much, and have a great week. Glynis McCants has your number, and as you know by the number of times she appears on the show, we've got hers, but there's a reason why we're talking to her and you next on Coast to Coast AM. I'm not going to hog Glynis McCants here. I'm going to open up the phones just a little bit, get a couple of people in before the end of this hour. Yeah, you may have just heard Glynis McCants in a George replay from, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. But there's a reason why I'm calling her. I've been actually asking, can I get Glynis on for a few minutes here one of these nights? And only because I'm doing a bonus night on a Sunday, they let me squeeze her in. So with apologies to everybody else and to Glynis herself for the amount of time we take of hers on Coast to Coast, I wanted to pass along my gratitude and ask a couple of questions about the calendar she sent me, my new numerology calendar. And what some of these things mean, as I'm just kind of coming to terms, well, with her terms. And we'll get to that coming up next. And maybe one or two questions from you for her, too, because Glynis has your number, too, on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, don't know, again, how many people will get on with Glynis McCants, but thanks again, Glynis, for giving us a little extra time this week.
No problem.
All right, so you sent me this calendar after our conversation on January 1st. We had a kind of a roundtable discussion that night with a bunch of folks like yourself who are looking ahead into 2008. Mm-hmm. And you said you were going to do it, and I was really grateful you did, because I've gotten a kick out of it. And I've been, you know, I really try to get my head around how numerology is supposed to work, and so mm-hmm. the calendar has been really helpful. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm actually looking ahead in my year, and I'm going to be Mr. Open-Minded. I'm going to plan dates around the specific things that you say are going to be good days to try certain things.
Okay, I like that idea, but why don't we walk through the calendar and what it means in symbols for you?
Okay.
How about that?
Because I understand, I mean, it's really simple. If anybody's ever going to get this calendar from Glynis, it's all pretty much laid out for you with your number versus the number of the day or the month or whatever.
Right.
And this is supposed to be my luckiest year ever. So that's why I'm trying to do it exactly right. I don't get lucky years very often, so I want to make sure I don't blow this one.
Right. So can I ask who told you it was your luckiest year ever?
Another numerologist who was on the show back in September or October.
Okay. Because what I would tell you, this is your personal year of seven, which is all about let go and let God. Like, if you surrender, you have great payoffs in this cycle. So it's kind of like where you're coming from when it comes to your spirituality to make it the best year ever. Do you see? Like,
right.
When you try to control it, it won't be as smooth as you would hope. It's more like surrender to it and see what happens.
I'm a terrible controller.
Well, you're a four. I'd expect nothing less from you, Ian. Yeah, I'd be shocked if you did not feel the need to kind of have structure to say, hey, I would just want to know how this goes down. Because the number four is A plus B must equal C. You know, you like to know that. And then you're born on a 3-day, which is your sense of humor. That's the part of you that's very playful. But behind it is your four. And that's why this calendar that you've got, it's called a 248 calendar. It's the natural match to your energy. And that's why certain days are going to be good for you. Others have conflict in the date. And that's why I created that duality symbol. You'll notice on certain calendar days, you'll see two symbols. Do you see that?
Yeah, well, I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that duality symbol simply means the real motivation, what made me even do this. Some people get surgery and they'll pick a day that should be perfect. A natural match date in numerology should be great. But if there's duality, meaning conflict in the actual day, it's not a day to let a doctor touch you. It is not a day to sign that main, you know, major contract. It is not a day to get married because you want things to be as smooth as possible. And that's really what motivated me to create this calendar.
Okay, and I would, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
And I really don't. I really live very comfortably in an area where I really try never to control stuff. I let things kind of happen a little bit, and I'll take a path, and I'll I'll stay with that path, but if I feel the need, I'll veer off from that. And I always try to stay very fluid about things. But in trying this, and I really am trying to be, it's both a sort of an intellectual and also sort of a spiritual experiment. Mm-hmm. I'm going with some of these dates where I knew I had to travel, or I know I have to have a business meeting about something. And so I'm scheduling them around natural match, no conflict, no challenge dates.
Perfect. And then, okay, of course, that star, which represents a compatible date, that's also decent for you.
Okay.
But in a perfect world, you'd go your natural match route. Yes.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. So here's what I was trying to get my head around, though. And anybody, again, you can get these calendars from Glynis, and I think they're very interesting, and I'm just trying to understand. So we have let's say I have a date where I'm not supposed to sign a contract, as you said.
Uh-huh. And yet you have no choice.
Yeah, and I don't have a choice.
And definitely. It happens. So here's what I did. Let me jump in and say this. At numberslady.com, there's an actual button I put there that says how your calendar works. And if you click on it, it says there are times in life we don't have an option. We have to sign the contract, or we have to do something, and it's either a caution day or an actual duality date. When that happens, you are supposed to literally focus, like stay in the moment, and just surrender, let it be water off a duck's back. Do not fight with these people. See, on that kind of date, you're going to have some angst inside you and maybe feel the need to be a little more confrontive than you want, and it backfires. So it's like stay in the moment and just trust something could go wrong, but you're okay because you know what the energy of the day is. You're prepared for it, Ian.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
And I think that's part that's really interesting is that I look at these dates and I think I need to plan some things around Fridays, because Fridays are on my calendar sort of a good day to jump. And if I have to go to New York or something like that, mm-hmm. it's always easier on a Friday. But I don't have that many perfect natural match Fridays in my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm looking at like less than perfect dates, and suddenly I'm getting wiggy about it.
Yeah, but see, and again, this is what I tell people to do. And you got to know that I've done this for 23 years. I live it this way anyway.
Like, I know you do.
I'll give you an example. Last Friday was an 8-day, which is toxic to me, right? So I'm doing a radio show. The thing disconnected on me twice, like in the middle of interviews. And I started cracking up because I'm like, it's an 8-day. It's toxic to me. I get it. And because I knew what I was up against, I wasn't in effect. I didn't get angry. That is the message from your calendar. It's like, okay, not a perfect date. That's fine. So if my luggage is late, the cab doesn't get here on time, I am prepared.
Now, help me out with this, too. These challenge dates.
Mm-hmm. You mean like a caution date?
Yeah, like a caution date, like a toxic date. I actually sort of looking at that, and I find myself thinking, should I just schedule nothing?
No. It simply means let's say it's a day that's important to you, and you come up against people that are confrontive or rude or don't seem to want to work with you, you just make a note. Okay. Oh, I will not engage here. I will not defend my position. I am not going to waste time arguing with this person because it's a day to proceed with caution. Now, mind you, here's another example. Let's say you're driving a car and you park it real fast, and maybe it's where it's no parking, but you just have to do something for 1 minute. That's not a day to do that, because that's the day you'll get the ticket.
Right.
That's all it means.
And so that's what I was trying to get my head around. So that it doesn't mean that it's going to go 180 degrees the opposite direction.
Absolutely.
It's
not.
Just I might get a little ground fire for something.
Well, but what's beautiful about it, I believe, is when you look at that, you can make a note of it. Like when someone gets strange and you're like, oh, okay, this is a caution date, and this person's being kind of not supportive of me or maybe competitive towards me. But that's cool. Because okay. I'm not going to engage it. I'm not going to fall into the trap. I will not let this be a bad day. That's what you're doing.
All right, good. Yeah. Now I like that. So that's what I'm just letting you know. I'm going to use this calendar off and on for at least the first half of the year,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to really focus on what will happen on those dates. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to journal about it a little bit, and then I'm going to look at the good and the bad dates and see whether they coincide with what kind of day I ended up having.
Okay. And then I would say to you, Spock, from the Starship Enterprise, that you are doing something that I personally, that's such a four, I can barely breathe when you even talk like that. Because fours love to look at it as a science project. To me, it's just a nice message. It's like, if someone called you
But it's both, Glynis. It's both. I mean, that's what maybe it's because I'm a four, but I find it both interesting as a science project, but I'm also surrendering to it at the same time. I mean, for me to even do it is cool.
Okay, and
me.
Then let's jump in and talk about, for those who know nothing about what we're talking about, because certainly there are some people driving saying, what are they talking about?
Right.
Numerology is a science. It is 2,500 years old. The one that I use is the Pythagorean number system. And the belief is everything has vibration. So that means when you meet someone, you could feel a good vibe or a bad one. And that would be the difference between a compatible energy or a toxic energy. And the day you do something has vibration in it as well. So what I use the calendar for, like I will not look at it every single day. Of course, I pretty much know it by heart anyway. Sometimes I'll be going through my life and all of a sudden the day is bizarre. And I go, what's the day today? And then boom, it turns out it was a caution day. Or it had duality in it. And remember this too. I also say to you, a natural match day, even if it has a duality symbol, that does not curse your day. You can still have a blast. You can have a good time with friends and stuff, but you don't do anything really important for you.
No. Good. And that's why I wanted to amplify that. So now that I understand a little better.
Yeah.
But then you confuse me, though, when you say, I'm being Spock-like about the science of it. If it's a 25-year-old, 100-year-old science,
not 25, yeah,
right. If it's a 25-year-old science, then why can't I be scientific about it?
Well, I say have fun with that. I wish you nothing but the best. But I have a feeling now. In studying this as many years as I have just. Because I have lived and experienced that vibration so completely, it just comes up for me constantly. But I will tell you this, 5,000 calendars have gone out that door. I keep getting emails of Glynis. I got a call for an interview, but it was a duality date, so I changed the date. I picked a date that was compatible to me, and I got the job. So it's think about that for a minute. Their mind was ready, and they were prepared for it to be a lovely day, and it was for them. So it's been interesting, and I'm digging it.
That's why I'm trying.
Have fun with it for sure.
Right,
and use it for the big stuff, too.
Let's get first-time caller Marlene in Buffalo on Coast to Coast AM for Glynis McCants. Glynis has your number. You can link up to her through our website at coasttocoastam.com. Marlene.
Hi. I can't believe this is such a privilege to be on. I've listened to you for years. Ian, Glynis, I have a question for you, Glynis, as far as I used to feel that I was somewhat intuitive, and I've been kind of like missing the boat lately.
Okay.
It seems like my intuition is kind of slowing down.
What is your birthday?
May 26, 1952.
Okay, because certain numbers have, I would say most of us are psychically in tune, but some of us are more gifted than others, or you could say it's a clearer channel. So I'm seeing what your numbers are. So give me just a moment here. 4, 5, 7, 3. It looks like you're 3 life paths. And then what were you saying, it's gotten worse this year, or how long has this been going on? Well, you feel like you're not as in tune psychically.
I don't know. Hang on a second. Let me try to get. It seems like I'm getting some bad 8 moments here or something. Marlene.
Yes.
Okay. Now there you're back again. Go ahead.
Okay. I stood up, so maybe it's the phone. But anyway, so I've been having some really bad luck with work. I'll find a job, and I'll get laid off. They cut.
Okay.
Find another job. I get cut. I've been fighting a losing battle for like a few years now, and it's like, can I get out of this cycle?
Right. So here's what I want to say. Technically, you're a 3 life path, and 3s are the ones who want, they're here to motivate and uplift others, but they also believe in magic. Like, that's a part of you that's optimistic inside. No matter how upset you get, there's something you believe is possible. You are born on an 8-day with a 4 attitude. Those two numbers have hard luck lessons attached. So you have to find ways to get back to your sense of humor, because the minute you feel like a victim, that's what keeps coming. Like, you can't even say the words, what else could possibly go wrong?
Because it does.
Oh, constantly. But that's, believe me, that's from your 8 and the 4 that's looking for it. So I want you to focus more on that 3 and tell me, what creativity are you not using? Like, what's your natural creativity that you are not using in your career right now? Like, if you could do whatever you wanted, what would you do?
Oh, I wish that I had taken drawing lessons years ago, but I'm in my 50s.
Okay, yeah.
Like passé.
Listen, my mother just got a PhD and she's 75. I don't believe in age. I don't. As long as we're here, you know, we should be doing something we love. But I'm just saying, when I look at the three, I instantly think of the writer or someone who has a story to tell. It's about communication.
And,
you know,
and can Marlene, let me just give you a thought. It's interesting how you said that, because have you ever considered that you are the one who's holding you back by creating rules like it's too late, the ship has sailed, I can't do it now, and then you put yourself in a place where you'll be doing things which aren't as enjoyable?
Well, you know what? I tried changing careers. So at the age of 50, I went back to school.
Mm-hmm.
I got a degree in health information management, so I became a medical biller.
Right.
I thought that was my next step to try and make myself more marketable.
Right, but you're not loving that, are you?
Well, you know, I mean, it pays the bills.
Yeah, see, no. So you're now talking from your 4 and your 8, which is the ones who need financial security and worry about money. You're really a 3. So I just want you to sit down, make a list of other things that bring you joy, other things you've considered. And I swear, once you get one of those jobs, you'll keep the job. And this year for you, no matter what, is better than last year. A cycle of 5, which is what you went into, in your case, it means you get a payoff. Something good has to happen. But Ian is correct. That 4 attitude, that's the voice that says, if I can't do it perfectly, I don't want to do it. It's a fear of failure. You
well,
have that.
Let's get to Ricky in Nashville. Question for Glynis McCants. We'll only probably get one or two more on, and then we'll talk about how to build a robot army coming up. Ricky, go ahead.
Hi, Ian. And Glynis?
Yes.
I'm 11, and I got one of your reports, and I was wondering if you could be any more.
Well, tell me your birthday real quick, Ricky, so I can just see what you are.
August 4th, 1961.
Okay, August 4th, 1961?
Uh-huh.
Okay, 3, 4, 7, 2. All right, technically, you've got a 3 attitude, which is the communicator. That's the part of you that feels the need to express yourself. You're born on a 4 date. That is where I say the financial stuff, taking care of business, being very loyal. Are you in a relationship or not, Ricky?
No.
Not a good sign for you, because 2 is the love number. Like, you're supposed to have a partnership. When was your last one?
6 years ago.
What, heartbreak? Was it painful for you? What happened?
Oh, they're all painful.
Yeah, but that's because when you have a 2 life path, it means you feel more deeply than you want to. But I have to say, Ian, my favorite thing when it comes to that is relationship affirmations and even the After Dark newsletter.
Right.
I cover that whole thing. So, Ricky, do you get their newsletter?
Ricky, oh, I see. And again, weird. We just lost Ricky, and I don't know what to do.
Well, let me just say that there's an affirmation about relationships, and I do offer that. It's in the book. It's also in your newsletter, but it's about he deserves a good relationship, and that's what he wants. He wants love.
And I'm glad I meant to mention that earlier. In the current edition of the After Dark newsletter, Glynis McCants goes through a lot of this about love,
mm-hmm.
and if you want to find out more, you can get that from coasttocoastam.com. I think we have time for one last one. This is David, who's in Vegas for Glynis McCants on Coast to Coast AM. David?
Hi, Glynis.
Hi.
Hi. I think, if I've got your numbers right, I'm a 1 life path and 1 attitude in a 1 year.
Okay, but say your birthday real quick for me.
8/2/1953.
Okay, so go ahead. What's your question?
And it's 2008.
Uh-huh.
I'm just wondering what kind of year I'm going to have.
Oh, okay. Let's see. In numerology, you just went into a cycle of 2, which means it's all about your intuition, David. You know when you get a gut instinct, like walk in a room and say, I like it here, or you feel something and say, I don't like it here at all? You've
right.
got to trust that. It's stronger this year than it's ever been for you.
Okay.
So that's the year you're in. It's about, like, when you make choices this year, it's going to be very clear if it's the right or wrong one. Do not second guess it. Just walk away.
Okay.
That's the kind of year you're in.
I've got a kind of a promotion possibility, and I'm trying to refinance my house. So
yeah, but you can do that because you're a 1 life path, which means striving to be the best at what you do. So I can't imagine you won't get that promotion.
Okay.
They know you're a good worker. You give 150%. That's your nature. You don't even have a choice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for giving us your best, and thank you for sending me that calendar, and I'll be having a very fun and scientific time with it at the same time.
Fabulous.
Spring look. And I'm very grateful you did that.
Look
for more at the website. You can link up through that through coasttocoastam.com or through the newsletter. And you can order it there and get Glynis's thoughts. God bless you and have a wonderful February.
Thank you.
And thank you, too, for everybody who couldn't get on. Sorry about that. Thought we'd give a couple people a treat. And coming up next hour, Dr. Daniel Wilson, How to Build a Robot Army. Tips on defending planet Earth against alien invaders, ninjas, and zombies. And also, we'll talk a little bit about Where's My Jetpack, too, in the conversation he had with George, I heard that night, on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.